If a cicada lives in the New Forest and no one is around to hear it, does it make a sound? For the past 20 years, no one has heard a cicada in the New Forest, so naturally, a team of computer scientists have set out a search party for the bug. On this episode of the Oxford Sparks Big Questions podcast, we are hunting for the elusive cicada and asking, where have all the cicadas gone? Hello, I'm Emily Elias, and this is the show where we seek out the brightest minds at the University of Oxford, and we ask them to weigh in on the tricky questions. For this episode, you guessed it, we are heading to the New Forest, and we're meeting up with Alex Rogers. He's a professor of computer science at the University of Oxford. And after a minor donkey-related traffic jam, yes, donkey, we end up at a clearing in the middle of the forest.
Okay, is cicada, cicada, tomato, tomata? Am I saying it wrong?
Yeah, I always say cicada. So I think cicada, cicada, but I say cicada.
So you might be wondering why a computer scientist is hunting for a grasshopper-like bug. Well, Alex says a cicada isn't your average insect.
UK's largest insect, but no one's heard it for 20 years. And that might be because it's extinct, but also because it sings at about 15 kilohertz, which is right at the limit of most adults' hearing. And it's typically singing on a sunny day in the middle of the forest, where there may not be anyone around. So what we've been doing is sort of trying to build devices that we could put in the forest. They will listen for the cicada, and if they hear it, they'll make a recording that we can then go and collect and analyze later.
This is the sound Alex is looking for.
So it sounds a little bit like sort of air escaping from a hose.
That's a cicada. I know, it's kind of hard to pick up, so I'll play it again.
So it's sort of a very high frequency hiss. And often you're aware of some sound, and as soon as it stops, you suddenly realize there must have been a cicada singing, but you weren't actually aware when you were hearing it. So they sing continuously for sort of 30 seconds and then suddenly stop.
To me, this kind of feels like you're looking for a needle in a haystack, but Alex is incredibly optimistic. See, the way a cicada's life cycle works is that they can spend up to 7 years underground. Then they come to the surface for a few months, they make their high-frequency mating call, mate, and die. Their young eventually go back underground, and it starts all over again.
So in the UK, they're not synchronized. But in other parts of the world, that seven-year cycle can be synchronized, and it can even be longer. It can be sort of 11 years, 13 years. It's always a prime number, which is interesting, because which is thought to be a way of avoiding predators. And so in places like the east coast of the US, you can suddenly have thousands, hundreds of thousands of cicadas coming out of the ground 1 year, and then it will be sort of 13 or 19 years until that happens again.
To figure out if there are any cicadas in the New Forest, Alex and his team have built a low-cost listening device that's about the size of a deck of cards.
But that's it. So it's basically just one board, and all the components are on the other side. There's a little hole that the sound goes through to the microphone, and that's basically it.
Does it need a cover or anything?
So often with sort of custom electronics, the housing is the most expensive part. So we looked at, could we 3D print these things, or could we have custom houses manufactured, injection molded? And it turned out much cheaper just to use a plastic bag. And it worked perfectly well.
Alex says the trick is, it's a smart device. So it only records when it hears that magic 15 kilohertz frequency used by the insect, saving battery life and time of going through hours of recordings by researchers.
And have you had any luck?
No. So we haven't detected the cicada yet, but that doesn't mean it's not there. So last summer we deployed about 80 devices, and we collected about 10,000 recordings, but no sign of the cicada.
Just to be clear, Alex did not go through 10,000 recordings alone. He's collaborating with the University of Southampton, and in particular, two PhD students.
Yeah, I'm Andrew Hill. I'm a second year PhD student, and I design the hardware and the electronics for the AudioMoth.
Hi, I'm Peter Prince. I'm a second year PhD student as well at the University of Southampton. And I've been doing the more like the intelligence side on the devices, so how they're deciding whether or not to record and detecting these different events.
Peter, Andrew, and Alex then begin their new forest ritual. They expand their collapsible ladder and climb a tree holding one of their devices. They carefully check the batteries, remove it from the sandwich bag, and see if they have any cicada recordings.
It's probably just a leaf tapping on there.
So there shouldn't be much else at that frequency, but there are sort of other insects and things can occasionally buzz at that frequency, so it will sort of trigger recordings. But the cicada is really clear, so it's a very sort of strong signal and a very strong band.
Then, after an anticlimactic scan of the audio, they put the device back in the tree and move on to the next.
The issue, after a while, all the trees start to look the same.
Big computer scientists. Yeah.
This whole process is not nearly as soul-crushing as it may seem. Ultimately, every time they go out, it's helping to create this low-cost, customizable monitor that could be used by biologists and researchers to monitor conservation efforts. Peter deployed the device in rainforests in Belize. He's trying to help detect shotguns from poachers and chainsaws from clear-cutting so that local authorities can keep track of what's going on in the vast amount of rainforest that they can't easily get to.
To be honest, it was mainly just because it's quite interesting, really. It was the interest factor of it. Like, there are so many different projects going on about different kind of like detection and like uses for interesting algorithms and things like that. But this one is like, it's actually making a real difference. So like, we've got our boots on the ground here. We're actually going out to the new forest. We've been gone out to Belize and everything, and we can actually see the difference we're making. So it's an interesting problem. So you've got trying to detect a gunshot out of lots of noisy animals in the rainforest and lots of sounds, but then also like you could sit in an office and do that and be like tasked with doing a similar sort of problem, similar difficulty, but this one is actually like there are people and animals that are affected by these issues.
And while these three guys have spent the last 2 years looking for an insect that might not be there, Alex says the time and lessons learned along the way to develop this device is invaluable.
But what I'm really interested in is how we can use sort of online resources like maker communities, lots of people prototyping devices using Arduino and Raspberry Pi. And the big challenge for that is how you take those prototype devices and you put them in the hands of conservation professionals who actually want to use them for particular tasks. So the research is really focusing around what extra do you need to do to turn these sort of prototype devices into real tools that biologists can use in their everyday practice. So we've been developing the devices and we've been writing the software, and what we really want to do now is make it open source and provide those tools so that other people can use it. So if other people have a particular application, they can download the designs for the hardware, they can download the software, they can configure it themselves and use it for whatever application they have.
Would you be heartbroken if you never heard a cicada in the New Forest?
I think it's still here somewhere, and I hope that we hear it one day.
How about you?
Yeah, still holding out hope. It's been 2 years, but obviously, like, they've got such a long life cycle, so there's still a chance. So if not this year, then maybe next year, maybe the year after. Don't know.
Yeah, I just don't think we're looking in the right places yet.
That's shade.
This podcast was brought to you by Oxford Sparks for the University of Oxford, with music by John Lyons. And a special thanks to Alex Rogers, Andrew Hill, Peter Prince, and the University of Southampton. Tell us what you think about this podcast. You can go to Twitter and tweet us at Oxford Sparks. You can find us on Facebook. And, of course, we've got tons of other cool stuff on the website. Go to oxfordsparks.ox.ac.uk. I'm Emily Elias. Bye for now.